Gary, you've written recently about narrow network policies. You say they can be done correctly by focusing on quality as well as cost. Now, policy experts and insurers say they're one way to hold down premiums, but they have become controversial. What are the pros and cons of smaller networks?
One, obviously, is access. Everybody has to be able to receive care for all of the services that are covered by their policy. We also want people to have choice. We want people to be able to choose which doctors and hospitals they go to, and we want people to have the highest quality care. But as you noted, we also want to try to control costs, and those various objectives that we have at times may run into conflict. And so there's been a lot written about people who couldn't go to the doctor that they used to go to or couldn't find a particular physician close to where they live. And this has gotten a lot of attention and has caused regulators to want to look at whether further regulation of networks, is appropriate.
So policy experts say that employers who offer workers narrow network policies often select their network of doctors and hospitals based not just on price, but also on how well they do on quality rankings. Critics say the new marketplace plans, though, mainly rely on insurers choosing network providers based on price. Do you share that concern?
So I do share that concern, and I need to encourage the types of networks like accountable care organizations that are springing up around the country, where providers and hospitals and insurance companies are sharing in risk and are working together to manage care to make sure that both its higher quality and costs are controlled. So that kind of narrow network, it seems to me, is fundamentally different than a network that's simply based on what the cost of reimbursement is to the insurance company. The challenge to the insurance industry is greater transparency. People have got to know when they buy a plan what it is that they're getting. And so far, it has proven very difficult for insurance companies and for some of the marketplaces that have tried to put up provider directories to provide accurate, up-to-date information on just who's in the network and who's taking new patients.
We've heard concerns in California and other states that the lists of participating doctors and hospitals were not available or were inaccurate when people were signing up for their health coverage. What's being done in the federal and state marketplaces to make sure this information is available?
What's being done so far is both the federal government and a number of the states now are making it a requirement that these directories be provided and be updated on a regular basis. And the question is going to be, what sort of enforcement are we going to see of that requirement? I think the challenge is really on the insurance industry on this one. I think they are just going to have to work harder at making sure that they are providing that accurate, up-to-date information, because if they can't, then I think that risks the whole concept of being able to provide these narrow networks is going to be really challenged.
In some states, all or most of the plans being sold are these narrow networks, and many don't offer any out-of-network coverage at all. Should regulators require insurers to offer both broad and narrow network plans?
From what I've seen, the market really is providing that choice. I mean, McKinsey did a study that said that in the marketplaces, 90% of the people had the choice of a broad network. And generally speaking, a lot of the Blue Cross Blue Shield plans do offer both a broad network and a narrower network. But I think that you're right. If the trend continues and it turns out that people don't have that kind of choice, even if they're willing to pay for it, then it's likely that regulators may step in and take some further action.
What other kind of transparency would you like to see? Should insurers post, for example, how they select these networks? Should they disclose that? Are any insurers doing that already?
If the network is designed not just to be lower cost because the reimbursement rates are lower, but in fact is designed to be a higher quality, more efficient, and therefore lower cost network, then I think it's important that people understand that and that the data to support it and that the criteria that have been used to select the physicians and the hospitals that are going to be in the network be made known to the public when it's making their choice. So I might decide, if I am convinced that one network that I'm being offered offers me higher quality care, I might choose that network, even if it meant that I had to travel a little bit further to see the doctor or I had to wait a little bit longer for an appointment. But in the absence of that kind of information, I don't have any basis for doing that.
Are any insurers doing that yet?
A lot of these new types of organizations are just beginning to happen now in the wake of the Affordable Care Act, in the wake of what Medicare is doing with its Accountable Care Organization program. We really don't have a lot of data yet, but I think that as time goes by, we will. Then we need to rethink look in some ways are measures for what is an adequate network. You know, and typically we look at the time it takes to get to a doctor's office and the time it takes to get an appointment. But with new technology, with the increased use of telemedicine, where people are going to be seeing a physician in a video call or with email, some of those traditional measurements may be less important. I wouldn't say unimportant, but perhaps less important.
You warn that regulators could get in the way of creating good narrow networks. How?
We have to recognize that we have a physician shortage in this country that has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act and nothing to do with what networks insurance companies create. I mean, that's just a reality. So when you listen to regulators, for example, from very rural states, you know, what they'll say is, well, you know, we don't have enough doctors, I mean, regardless of what the network looks like. So I think we need to be sensitive to local conditions. You know, what's a reasonable time for somebody to travel to see a doctor is very different in a densely populated urban area than it is, you know, in a rural area. And then I think we should consider looking at what is the quality of the care that's being provided by this network, and is it really serving the population well, as opposed to just looking at the time and distance and those kinds of criteria.
What about data on how many patients had to go out of network for coverage? Are any insurers reporting that? When will we have that data?
That data is required and will be reported, and obviously we're still in the first year of people going to see their doctors in policies that they purchased through the marketplaces, and so I think we'll learn a lot more as we go forward as to what their experience really has been. And that will help inform what steps both the industry needs to take and what steps regulators should take to make sure that people are getting access to the care that they need.
This time last year, open enrollment had just begun through the state and federal marketplaces. The rollout for many was disastrous, as you know, marred by a myriad of technical problems. What's different this year?
Ironically, one of the biggest concerns that we had going into open enrollment last year was that, you know, there were a lot of polls saying that people didn't even know what the program was about. And as a result of all of the publicity that we got because of some of the problems, you know, we certainly cured that problem in a hurry. Everyone, you know, in the country, I think, was aware of healthcare.gov as a result of what had happened. So I think there is, on the one hand, just sort of broader knowledge of the ACA and the marketplaces in general. On the other hand, the folks who didn't sign up the first time around may be a little bit harder to reach than the ones who did. And so I know that there's a lot of efforts going on around the country to make sure that people know what's happening and the benefits that they can get. One thing that did emerge from the experience of the first open enrollment is that it really does matter if people have contact with someone in their community whom they trust to get information, as opposed to just getting it over the internet or through a radio piece or something like that.
And finally, Gary, what's the biggest challenge facing the Obama administration concerning the health law in the next year?
The challenge facing all of us, including the Obama administration, is really to make the case, you know, for what has been called the triple aim, which is a better access for more people and a better customer experience, better outcomes at lower cost. And I think that there are a lot of interesting things that are being done, some of them prompted by the changes in the healthcare market that are happening. And we need to look at what works and what doesn't and try to really encourage what works. And that's why I think this whole issue of narrow networks is actually pretty critical, because we need to see whether we can make the case that smarter networks result in better outcomes, more efficient care, less overtreatment, and lower costs are something that can be one of the tools that we use to get to the result that we all are trying to accomplish.